we've got our Christmas tree up, and on the first day that it went up, Ollie was absolutely obsessed with what he called the tea, not the tree. But since he worked out that the thing on the top is called the star, tree doesn't get a mention anymore. It's the star. And so I go, it's the tree. And he's like, no, the star. It's the star. Constantly, right? We won't actually be risking Santa photos this year. We'll probably save that up for Carols in the Shire, because there will be a Santa and free photos going on and so forth. And we're sort of thinking it's a more familiar atmosphere for him to do it. He's less likely to crack it at Santa. he does that unpredictably. He had his third haircut recently and absolutely cracked it. Did the other two perfectly. Third time was not easy whatsoever. I don't know about you, but Andrew and I have had a huge year. We have this year, I was just sort of counting up the things that had been happening for us, and obviously we raised a one-year-old successfully. Nobody got hurt in the process. We're cooking up another one. I said to Andrew, I feel a lot bigger this time. Babe, do I look like a whale? And he's like, no, more like a seal, a cute one from SeaWorld. So in a very loving way. He started, Ali, you shouldn't be laughing. Andrew started a consultancy this year, and then unexpectedly, God led us into something else from about August this year as well, an additional business. Work for me has been amazing and fantastic and big. And so we've kind of got to the end of the year and gone, we want a holly jolly Christmas hibernation. Like, I just want a really selfish, self-centered Christmas this year. And then I'm like, no. And we've planned rest. We're not crazy people. We have planned a week's rest, and it's going to be refreshing for us and so forth. But we have a vision for Christmas in our family. And one of the things that we've kind of built as a fairly young couple, actually, not, you know, we are very young, but we only got married a couple of years ago. A lot's happened in a few years. But we do have a vision as a family that we would be a home, not just to ours and our own, but that we would be a home, that because God has gifted us with the community of each other, that we would extend that sense of home beyond our borders, that we wouldn't just squander the gift of God that he's given us, but we have a vision that God would use us and our home to lead others home. And you know, there is actually something about Christmas that stirs up a deep connection to home, or, dare I say, a longing for it if it hasn't been great. You know, there's something about this season, and I think it is an innate God-given thing to locate ourselves in a sense of home and belonging, even when it hasn't been ideal. You know, when it comes down to it, the human need for home, believe it or not, is actually observable empirically. There is actually evidence, can you believe, for this thing that we feel. Normally we're like, how can you measure a feeling? But social scientists have actually gone about the process of measuring this desire for home. Can you believe it? Isn't that amazing? So there's this lady called Melinda Svensson, and she said she found in her research that this sense of home, this feeling, gut feeling thing that we get, is actually key to emotional and physical health. Can you believe? And she's saying it can actually affect your cognition, so the way that you think and process the world, your behaviour, your self-care, your physical health, your emotional well-being. And she even was able to measure the way that it impacts levels of illness. So she was saying people who don't have that deep sense of home actually get sicker a lot more. Isn't that amazing? I thought that was fascinating. Other social researchers have found that home is something that everyone in some way, shape or form identifies with. So no matter what your experience has been, everyone can identify with a sense of home. How's this? In their research, these particular guys found that homeless people, on the whole, still aspire to having a home. They don't give up on that idea of home. They did some research with a group of young women who had fled home prematurely, you know, in their early teens and so forth, and all of them, they found, were hoping for a possible home in the future, Even when their experience had been negative, somehow they hoped that they could be part of establishing a home that would somehow give them everything they hadn't had in leaving their home. How's this? In Australia, the number one fastest growing group when it comes to homes and residential areas is lone person households. Can you believe that? In a city that doesn't have a lot of space, lone person households are increasing. They're saying the next 25 years, it will increase by 65% is the prediction. Isn't that crazy? If you live alone, it's certainly not a criticism, it's an observation of the patterns in our society. Now, all of that is very domestic and so forth, and it does relate to every culture, although it does look different in different cultures. But I do want to even say there is this scourge going on worldwide at the moment where we are witnessing the highest levels of displacement on record. And I mean bigger than the wars. Like, I'm talking international people groups displaced. So we're seeing an unprecedented 65.3 million. That is almost three times the population of Australia at the last census that we took this year. We won't go there. It's nearly three times that population have been forced out of home for various reasons. And 34,000 people daily are forced from their home due to conflict and persecution at the moment. Aren't they insane statistics in this world that we are living in? You know, for me personally, we can look at this as a very abstract concept, this concept of home and even the international situation. But Christmas for me has always made me long for my family and long for that sense of belonging. And I've always desired, even young, to create traditions that we could share together. But every Christmas, it always put a highlighter pen through for me what was lacking and what I longed for. I don't know about you, Christmas kind of did that for me. And though I cannot remember one ideal Christmas in my family, I cannot remember one where I said that was ideal, that was perfect. I still hoped every year this might be the year that our family could do one good Christmas. What it all says to me, these statistics, my own experience, is because I feel all the feels around Christmas, that maybe, don't laugh at me for my, because I feel all this stuff, that just maybe my neighbour might feel the same way. That just maybe the people that are receiving these beautiful gifts, and Shy Alive are just incredibly generous, you've outdone yourselves again, that just maybe the mums and the dads, the women that have fled home, the children that won't be having Christmas in their home because they're in hospital this year, maybe they feel the same way I do at Christmas time. And because essentially we're made of the same stuff, aren't we? We're no different, really, at our core. We are made of the same stuff and we are no different. And I think what it is pointing to is a spiritual reality that is far beyond this sentimental longing, really. That it's much deeper, that it is an echo of what Ecclesiastes calls eternity in our heart. And that it's pointing to a family that we can belong to that is much greater than this sense that we feel at Christmas, that we're created for something deeper than what we can actually manufacture at Christmas. And to tell you the truth, the Christmas story is all about home. The Christmas story is actually all about this sense of longing that I'm talking about, because he left home to bring us home. He actually left his home, his perfect and ideal that was unlike yours and mine, so flawed and fraught and lovable nonetheless, but his was perfect, and he left home to make home for us and bring us home. You know, spiritually what was offered at Christmas, and we talk about the trimmings and the bits and pieces that we like to represent in art, and that's all very beautiful and cultural. But spiritually what was offered at Christmas was not a nativity story or a teaching or a belief system. It was actually a plan to reunite a family. It was actually a plan to reunite a family, and it was not our way, but the way, the only way, the way of returning home. And it's not because it looks like the Brady Bunch, by the way, because it doesn't. And a bunch of our pastors, we were together this week, and Pastor Brad kind of led us in doing a devotions together from the Bible reading plan. And we were looking at the story of Mary's conception and Elizabeth's as well. And we were reminded that really, let's look at this for what it is. It was not the Brady Bunch. It was an unwed mother, probably in her early teens, pretty confronting really. Mary and Joseph were essentially refugees, and the world that they were in was a violent and desperate world under a foreign power. Watch Ben-Hur, and it will absolutely underscore to you the times that they lived in. It was not the Brady Bunch. But through this story, through this family event in history, what was brought at Christmas was a call home. Was a call home. You know, Isaiah prophesying, and Tim alluded to it this morning, to a nation actually desperate. They were worried about the threat of their home being lost to invading Assyrians. Actually prophesies well into their future, you know, centuries down the track, and says, hey, you're looking at your immediate situation, the threat of the Assyrians, the potential loss of your sense of home. But let me tell you, in the future, there is coming a Messiah. And he says in Isaiah 9, verse 6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, offered up as a gift. You know, a son is given is actually an expression of home and family. Because it wasn't a teacher that was given, although he did teach. It wasn't a counselor or a doctor that was given, although he counseled and healed as well. It wasn't a pastor, believe it or not, they're an amazing breed. Although he did bring spiritual leadership, it was a son, a part of a family and a home that we're invited into. You know, in the New Testament, it goes even further. Jesus isn't just a son given, but he's actually a brother of the same father. Isn't that incredible? Hebrews 2:11 says, so now Jesus and the ones he makes holy, that's us, have the same father. It's a family context that we're brought into. That's why Jesus is not ashamed to call them his brothers and sisters. Today, if you know him, you're not part of his congregation. You're not part of his band of followers. You are a brother or a sister of the same father. You know, the Message puts it like this, and I love how rich this is. John 1:14, the word Jesus became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. We saw the glory with our own eyes, the one-of-a-kind glory, like father, like son. It's family, generous, insides, the family trait, generous inside and out, true from start to finish. You know, this morning, and Sarah, I just knew this song was written for her, led us so beautifully, and we sang about Jesus, such a beautiful name, because he's the home to the homeless. And it says, you didn't want heaven without us. So Jesus, you brought heaven down, you brought your home down to us. My sin was great, your love was greater. What could separate us now? It's the language of family and home. It's like, I will bring home to you and I will remove what separates. It is not exclusion, it is the inclusion in my home. You know, what is held in that name is home. What is represented in that name is family. What is imparted in that name is belonging. And what is in him is all the pieces put back together of a broken home. Let me read to you Colossians 1:20. All the broken and dislocated pieces of the universe, people and things and animals and atoms, get properly fixed and fit together in vibrant harmonies, all because of his death, his blood that poured down from the cross. And our longing for home is eternity put there by God, calling us to our real home in Him. And yet, we find ourselves in this world that is not home. We find ourselves located in this world that is far, far from a sense of home. And can I just say, people are feeling it. People are feeling it. They might not talk about it. They might not have the language and the vocab around it to describe what's in their heart, but they are feeling it. And in their quiet moments, they know it. In fact, this world, your neighbours are aware of it. Your best friends are aware of it. Your family is aware of it. This world is hostile to a sense of home. It's actually what the Christmas Carol says. It is a weary world. It is a world that is weary because there is no home base. There is no sense of replenishment in home. There is no sense of regeneration and relationship in home. It's a weary world that you and I are placed in and connected to through our friends and family. Andrew and I have been on a journey since probably about August this year. It's very recent, and we've been increasingly interested in the whole area of ethical labour. And by that I mean people being, particularly in the agribusiness, agricultural areas, being paid fairly and being paid a reward for what they do as labourers and not being exploited, mainly in the area of migrant workers, actually. And yet, the further we went into this, our initial interest opened our eyes to a world we were not aware of in our own nation. I don't know if you saw the article. It was on the front page of The Age in Melbourne and quite significantly early on in the paper in Sydney. But there was a story of a farm that was raided and a lot of corruption going on. And just through this article, reading this article, it confirmed what we discovered this year on our very short but meaningful journey, that the issue that we thought was one level, on every single level, was humans hurting humans. You know, supermarkets crippling farmers. Farmers exploiting workers to get what they could out of them for the very least they could pay, many in indentured slavery. But then the workers illegally being where they are many times, not always, illegally being in these places they should never have been brought into. And then on top of that, Australians like you and I and communities all over the place over-consuming with a deep desire for unfairly cheap goods that's creating this demand that fuels the whole system. At so many levels of this world, it is hostile, unjust and exploitative. This is not home. This world is not a home. And people will never experience a sense of home in this system of the world. You know, they'll have some semblance of it. You know, the comfort of a house, a few kids, some job satisfaction. But they will never find true home in this world. They'll never find it. And can I just say, that is why, as people that have found home in this family because a son was given, because a brother was born for us so that we could share a father, as people that know what it is to be home, that is why Jesus does not remove you, does not remove our own from this world, but leaves you in it to bring home to the people of the world. It says it like this in John 17, and it's Jesus' prayer. And I mean, if Jesus is praying, we better listen up, right? Because I want to pray like him. John 17, 14b, to be integrous onwards. They are not of the world any more than I am of the world. You know, because we will find nothing in this world system that will satisfy. My prayer is, he says, is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. And as you sent me into the world, I have sent them. You are sent to bring home into a hostile system. You are sent to bring home to your neighbourhood that knows nothing of real home. You are sent into a family that is quite broken, that needs to know of a home their heart is longing for, and they will never find it in this world system. He has put home in you so that you can take it to them. You get to take home with you. You are a portable homing device. Isn't that amazing? You carry a sense of home with you. And so this Christmas, as those who have found home in him, as you and I have, and I've found home in him, my sense of home preceded the lovely home that I live in with my husband. My deep sense of home was only fortified by the amazing man that I married. My sense of home was only added to and embellished by my beautiful children. My deep sense of home doesn't lie in those things. My deep sense of home is in him. And I want to challenge us, in fact, ask you, will you allow this Christmas your life to lead home? Will you allow your life as someone who carries home within you? It's far beyond the trappings and the things that are the circumstance of your life, although those things can add and they are the blessing of God. Will you allow your deep sense of home in Jesus Christ, the Son given to you, the one who shares the same Father as you, will you allow your sense of home to lead others home this Christmas? Recently, I love war movies, and I think I've said it to you before, and Ali Hines shares the same passion. And so we left Andrew and Ollie at home. The boys stayed at home and the girls went out to watch war. So, we went to see Hacksaw Ridge and have dumplings, which is a good night. And it's an amazing story, a really touching story about a guy called Desmond Doss. And Desmond is what they call a conscientious objector. He did not want to kill and had spiritual reasons for that. But far from absolve himself from the dangers of conflict and war, far from stay at home and be a white feather, as many termed it back then, what he did was he put himself in the middle of battle to save many. Though he didn't believe in killing, though he didn't believe in holding a weapon for various reasons, and different people are on the spectrum, all for very good reasons, his choice in God, and he was a man of faith, his personal choice was that I will not hold a weapon, but I will go to war and place myself in the center of battle and be used by him to save as many as I can. As well as many undocumented battles in that movie that he was a part of, he was actually dead center in the middle of one of the most bloody and grisly battles of World War II, the Battle of Okinawa, one of the islands associated with Japan. And famously, Doss pled with the Lord in the middle of hellfire, the most horrific and violent and dangerous place to be in a war. He pled with the Lord, "Let me just save one more. Let me walk into the heat of battle, go to the wounded that are stuck in no man's land, go to the wounded that are in foxholes in the middle of enemy camp, go to those that cannot save themselves or remove themselves from the heat of battle." And he just, in his very simple country boy-like way, "Lord, will you help me save just one more?" Well, he prayed that over and over again, dragging one at a time, often carrying them more than, 100 meters on his back, dragging them to safety, lowering them down the cliff, this sheer escarpment. And I looked it up after I watched the movie. It is actually a miracle what happened. 75 men returned home to wives, mothers, fathers. 75 men that would have died in a foreign hellhole were saved and brought home because one man led them home. One man said, "God, one more. Just let me take one more with me. Just let me take one more." You know, this morning we have an opportunity not to work great miracles, not to run. We're going to hear about great crusades tonight, and we're going to experience an amazing touch of God in the air of healing and breakthrough tonight. But I'm not asking you to run a crusade this Christmas. I'm not asking you to do anything huge this Christmas. I'm just asking that we together would allow our lives to lead someone home. That the sense of home that we have and we have found in Jesus Christ, that the sense of grace that we have experienced, that we would not hog it, that we would not squander it, that we would not keep it to ourselves, but we would say, Jesus, in the same way as I was led home, please use me to lead one home. This morning, and thank you, host team, that the host team are going to give you a